John Walker Lind, the California man known as the American Taliban after his capture on a battlefield in Afghanistan a little while after 9/11, was released from a federal prison in Indiana today. His arrest and imprisonment over 17 years ago stunned Americans. He was not foreign-born. He was from here, but he pled guilty to providing support for the Taliban. His plea deal called for a 20-year sentence, but he is out early for good behavior, which has raised a lot of questions, especially from the family of CIA agent Michael Spann, who was seen interrogating Lind in a famous photo from Afghanistan, then was killed during an uprising of Taliban prisoners. Seamus Hughes is deputy director of George Washington University's program on extremism. Professor Hughes, you've said you're hearing John Walker Lind is just as radical now as he was when he went to prison?
Yeah, so when he got sentenced in 2002, he was very repentant, although in recent years we've heard that he is a strong supporter of the Islamic State. He's written letters to various journalists advocating for the Islamic State. He has preached to other inmates about how important it is to support terrorist organizations. So he still clearly holds these extremist beliefs.
In fact, haven't there been some intelligence agencies, I think the New York Times reporting yesterday, who actually feel that they've been picking up on this?
Absolutely. The intelligence agencies are quite concerned about this.
Well, let's just ask, though, how does this happen? When somebody gets released, especially for good behavior, don't they have to go through some kind of a board or some kind of an assessment?
They do, although we have to think of good behavior in the terms of a prison. Good behavior means going into your cell at the right time, not talking back. It doesn't mean holding radical beliefs. And so, unfortunately, he checked all the boxes when it came to that, but he still holds his extremist beliefs.
Well, but has anybody, in other words, you are saying you have heard this, others are saying they have heard this. But has anyone formally heard this? In other words, the judge who decides or a board that decides, have they asked him about his radical beliefs?
I'm not sure about the judge, but I know the probation services are aware of his extremist beliefs and are concerned about it and are trying. I think that's one of the reasons why we saw such a restrictive or intensive conditions placed on his release. I think that both the U.S. attorneys and the FBI are quite concerned.
Let's talk about those restrictions. He can't get a passport. He can't travel internationally. His internet use will be monitored. He can't ever read or see any material having to do with extremism. He can't meet or speak with anyone who's connected with any kind of extremism. Very restricted life outside prison. But we were wondering, who monitors that?
Yeah, it's kind of a spattering of a bunch of different agencies. So the FBI will have an ongoing investigation, the Bureau of Prisons, pretrial services, U.S. attorney's offices, and they'll all have to coordinate on the same page.
Look, hundreds of people have been arrested and imprisoned for jihadi-related terrorism crimes since 2001, in other words, joining various jihads. Some of them have already been released and have had complete life conversions, have in fact worked with the U.S. government. But are you worried about these different releases?
I'm worried about the fact that the U.S. government doesn't have a plan when it comes to this. There's no de-radicalization or disengagement programs within prisons. And to be fair, the probation restrictions are – there's no uniformity into it. So, you know, Lynn gets a number of restrictions, but another guy who gets out gets completely different restrictions. Now, I should say that, you know, we've had at least 50 to 100 people that have been released in recent years, another 50 to 100 that are getting out in the next 5 years. Most of these individuals move on with their lives. And we've seen the rate of recidivism be relatively low when it comes to crimes of terrorism. But people like Lynn are somebody that you have to be worried about. And to be fair, it's also a resource issue. You're going to have FBI agents watching him, probation services, and it's going to be a strain on the system.
Well, it costs money and personnel to have someone jailed as well. And just to push back a bit, you can have opinions. He can say that he supports groups that he feels are just. He can't act on it. So is it fair to keep someone in prison just because they may have a view?
No, and I think that's the issue the Bureau of Prisons is dealing with right now. It is absolutely fine to have radical beliefs. It's not fine to have violent radical beliefs. You can't hold a person indefinitely, but you can be concerned about them indefinitely. And so they have to do that balancing act.
Well, and just one last question. A former inmate who knew John Walker Lind, spent time with him at the same federal prison, said he never heard Lind espouse any kind of support for al-Qaeda or, you know, any terrorist organization or indicate any leaning towards violence. He thought he was awkward around people, but never heard anything. So is there a possibility that because there's a thinking that he had something to do with the killing of a CIA agent that's never been proven, that there might be people leaning more on him when you have an inmate saying, I didn't see anything?
Yeah, I mean, I understand people, they look at his history and say he's absolutely probably still radical. But I think you have to put it in the context of his writings, too. So he's written a number of letters to The Atlantic, to NBC, talking about his support for the Islamic State. And so it's one thing to tell an inmate you don't believe it. It's another thing to tell the media you do. And so they're going to have to square that circle.
Yeah. Seamus Hughes, Deputy Director of the Program on Extremism at George Washington University. Professor Hughes, Seamus, thank you.
Thank you.